Welcome to the Deep Dive. You know, what really fascinates me about today's topic is, well, this kind of intriguing idea. How can something created after a revered master's passing still hold immense spiritual power? We're taking a deep dive into the Hanuman amulet, specifically the Mahaprab Kumphan series. This one was from BE2559, which is 2016 CE. So our mission today is really to unpack how this particular series, you know, even though Luang Por Sokor Manunyo wasn't physically present for its creation, is still seen as incredibly significant. It's a look into what's called the inheritance of knowledge, or Suwebsan Sartwicha. We'll explore how profound intention and really rigorous tradition can sort of transcend an individual's presence. You're going to find out what makes this series so special.
Exactly. And to really get it, you first have to understand the purpose, the pure intention behind making these amulets. The sole reason was to raise funds, specifically for the groundbreaking and construction of the Luang Por Sokor Manunyo Vihara. That's a memorial hall at Wat Rong Krab. And this wasn't just any fundraiser. It's considered Vihara Dana, which is an offering for building a temple structure. That carries, well, exceptionally high spiritual merit in Buddhist thinking.
Ah, okay. So that pure intention, that Vihara Dana, that sets a really powerful foundation right from the start. But then how does that intention, you know, translate into actual power in the amulets themselves? What were the rituals involved?
Right. With that noble goal set, the next critical part was a series of, well, fascinating rituals designed specifically to imbue these amulets with power. It kicked off with something unique, the Hanuman Chubtua ceremony. It means body dipping. So on December 11th, BE 2558, that's 2015, all the Hanuman amulets were immersed in sacred herbal water, and not just for a bit, for 7 full days and nights.
Wow, 7 days and nights.
Yes, right there at Wat Nong Krab's Ubosat, the main ordination hall.
Okay, immersing them for that long. What made the water itself so sacred? Was it just blessed water or?
Good question. It wasn't just any water. The key detail is that it was made following a very precise recipe from Luang Pu Tim Ezariko. It included special sleepless leaves called Mai Ru Norn. Traditionally, these are believed to hold this constant, unwavering energy.
The sleepless leaves. Interesting.
Yeah, ideal for giving amulets a sort of perpetual power. And here's where the connection gets really deep. They use the exact same pot that Luang Por Sokor himself used for his own famous Mahaprab series back in BE 2009 or 2009.
The same pot.
The very same one. So you see, this created a direct continuation of spiritual energy. It directly linked these new amulets to the master's earlier work and his lineage.
That prolonged immersion in that specific water using that pot, that sounds incredibly potent. So after that energy charge, how did the consecration ceremony build on it?
Right. Following the dipping, they held the Fitipasek consecration ceremony. This is the major ritual for imbuing sacred power, and they followed the ancient 5 Saturdays, 5 Tuesdays timing. There's a strong belief that consecrating on these specific strong days, when celestial energies are thought to be high, significantly boosts an amulet's properties, like invincibility and authority.
5 Saturdays, 5 Tuesdays. That attention to traditional timing is really something. And who presided over these important blessings? Must have been significant figures.
Oh, absolutely. It was quite an extensive multi-stage consecration. Smaller blessings actually began back on January 2nd, BE 2559, 2016, involving various expert monks. Mm-hmm. But the main event was a grand ceremony. It went on for 3 days and 3 nights, from January 31st to February 2nd, 2559. And the lineup of masters who came, it was really impressive. You had direct disciples of Luang Por Sokor, senior masters from Luang Pu Tim's lineage, like Luang Por Sin from Wat Laharn Yai, and many other highly revered monks from across the country.
Wow.
It was truly a collective spiritual effort, pooling immense wisdom and energy.
Okay, so we have the intention, the dipping ritual, the specific timing, this incredible gathering of monks. What about the physical stuff? The materials they actually used to make the amulets, were they special too?
Yes, absolutely. The materials are also a crucial piece of the puzzle. They used a variety, things like copper alloy mixed with old sacred metal, bell metal, and for some limited editions, even gold and silver. But what's really powerful are the sacred inclusions mixed in.
Inclusions? Like what?
Things like Phong Pre Kumarn powder, which is highly sought after, consecrated gems, and significantly, pieces of Luang Por Sokor's own robe and hair.
His actual robe and hair.
Yes. That creates an incredibly direct, tangible link back to the master himself. It acts almost like a conduit for his spiritual essence, even after his passing.
That's quite profound.
Yeah.
So connecting all these elements, the rituals, the materials, the lineage, or the spiritual powers, the Buddhakun attributed to these specific Hanuman amulets.
Well, the powers draw directly from Hanuman's known characteristics in the mythology. We're talking about great power and authority, very helpful for those in leadership roles. Also, invincibility and safety, offering protection, helping one evade danger. Then there's compassion and charm, metta mahaniyam. And, crucially, the power to bring victory over obstacles. The name Mahaprabh itself means great subduer, so it emphasizes overcoming challenges.
Right, overcoming obstacles, leadership, protection, things that are, well, pretty relevant for many people navigating life's challenges, wouldn't you say?
Definitely. These properties resonate if you're looking to overcome difficulties, maybe need a boost in confidence or authority, or simply seek that sense of safety and protection.
So let's bring it all together. From a collector's viewpoint, or for someone seeking spiritual items, why are these amulets made after Luang Porsakorn died considered so valuable? It sounds like it really boils down to a convergence of factors, doesn't it?
Exactly. It's not just one thing.
It's the pure, noble intention, first building that vihara, then the perfectly executed rituals, really sticking to those revered traditions from masters like Wang Pu Tim, plus the superb sacred material, especially those personal relics like the robe and hair, and finally the massive blessing from that collective of top-tier monks.
That's it. The sum is greater than its parts, in a way.
Yeah. It really shows how intention, tradition, and collective spiritual effort can imbue objects with, well, enduring power and value that goes beyond just the lifetime of a single master. It's a lesson in how value can be built differently.
It really is. And if you think about the bigger picture, it makes you ponder how deep intention combined with faithful adherence to tradition can create significance that truly lasts. It transcends time. It transcends even physical presence. It's not solely about the individual creator, but the spirit, the lineage, the community effort that upholds it all.
That is a powerful thought. It leaves us with something to consider, doesn't it? What else in our world, maybe things we encounter every day, gains its profound power and lasting significance, not just from who made it now, but from the purity of its original intention and the faithfulness of its ongoing tradition? Something for you to think about, perhaps, as you consider what gives things true value.